NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that you can stay close to your team even if you don't live in their town. Like, maybe you're a Raven who married a Seahawk who got a job in the land of the Falcons. With NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your team's out-of-market Sunday afternoon games no matter where you live, because you shouldn't have to change teams even if you change towns. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto renews.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, the boys are here.
They're nervous. They're calm.
Boysies.
Get rarer.
Why is this happening to me?
Me. We're not getting Maccas and you can blame my son.
Get a few today, did you?
It's great to contractually be obliged to be here. Thank
you. Is anyone going to listen to this or what?
No, I actually don't know what happens in third grade.
You either get nude or get in the shower. Or we're throwing all your cricket gear in, bro.
I was like, no chance I'm going to fall in.
19th century Pax Britannica.
Well, I guess it's another Monday, and I guess that means we better talk about Justin Langer again. We're also talking about the PM's 11 against the West Indies. Chan the Paul runs. Is that the theme of the summer? Is that the theme of everything? The WBBL has run its course. Adelaide Strikers win the WBBL, and more importantly, the Sixers lost, and that's a choke, of course. The Sheffield Shield is on. What's doing with New South Wales, Pakistan and England, New Zealand, India? Hashtag Ask TJC all to come. My name is Ian Higgins. Sam Perry sits across from me. This episode, as they all are, is brought to you by Budgie Smuggler, where the Black Friday sale is still going on. If you listen to this on Monday, it's 20% off store-wide for orders $100 or more. Pez, Endeavour Hills, bit going on.
Yeah, you normally ask me what caught my eye this week. The Monash Crime Investigation Unit did. Gotta say.
Simply must.
From time to time, when there's phenomena in club cricket, particularly in Australia, but also around the world, led by the UK, the tweets, the DMs fly in.
Yeah,
you know, you get a bit, and there's a lot of people who've been sliding into the DMs with a lot of information about the Monash Crime Investigation Unit detectives. Who have, and
would
I'm
you call
reading,
them cowards if they're using them as a source?
I wouldn't. I'd just put allegedly in front of everything as just a catch-all.
That's the name of the show, allegedly.
and this is from Victoria Police. They've charged a man following the alleged theft and deception of $250,000 from a Mulgrave company.
Right.
It's alleged the funds were stolen between March 2021 and July 2022.
Yeah.
The money was allegedly put into the man's own business, which sourced and paid for 10 high-profile international cricket players to participate in local district cricket competitions in Melbourne southeast. Mm-hmm. At the time charges were laid, none of the players had participated in matches. This was through the week. This was last week, I should say. A 35-year-old Doncaster man has been charged with 18 counts of obtaining financial advantage by deception and one count of knowingly deal with proceeds of crime. That's just how it's written. He has been bailed to appear before Melbourne Magistrates Court on 29 November, which is tomorrow as we go to air. Now, separately, he goes, good game of cricket over the weekend.
Mate, great game. You say some of the names?
Yeah.
Unrelated to what you were just talking about. Completely unrelated.
I'm just saying this is an advancement in club cricket.
Yeah.
Once again, showing the health and strength of the game in Australia.
That's right.
Against the New World Order, which we are afraid of and we'll talk about later.
The NWO. We talk about it all the time. Exactly. The NWO. Now, like every morning we get in at 6 a.m. on a Monday morning.
VCA versus NWO.
And we just go through all of my cricket and then we realise that doesn't work anymore. So you gotta go to Play HQ and we look at every score from club cricket from juniors to adults. It takes up most of the week, I'm not going to lie. And then before you know it, it's the end of the week and we're going to do a Patreon show as well. But then we saw some names, C. Gale, T. Dilshan, S. Malik, H. Brown, the DJ, Havana Brown.
Brown, H. Pat at 8. Actually, quite like a handy around the wicket.
Tweakers, fast tweakers. More on that later.
The connections.
Havana, DJ Havana Brown, fast tweakers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, the connection's been made between Endeavour Hills and the the high profile international players they have in this competition and this incident. Now, if we accept that there is a connection, right, allegedly.
If. Big if.
Against the backdrop of the summer.
Right.
That backdrop being the rise again of Australian cricket or one last cash in summer before it all fucking crumbles.
Right. One last trip around the sun and that rolls around us.
Exactly. Is this not just any different to the eternal pursuit of social capital?
Right.
You know, that we all go through in cricket from this 35-year-old man. You know, everyone tries to bring an edge to club cricket. We've gone through this for a long time. Yep. Now, look back in our day, the best day.
Yes,
things were good. It was a simpler time, you know, not just wearing, but pulling off a singlet at training.
Right.
You know, due to a consistent split weights routine through the off season. You know, that one example. Impossible sex feats. Right. Truly impossible.
Just can't be true. But can't be true.
But you know, feats nonetheless and communicated. Yeah. These are ways of gaining social capital.
Nobody has that kind of staying power.
Yeah. False signifiers of wealth, like wearing a suit to training, indicating that you had a job that required a suit.
False signifiers of wealth.
Possessing a car, being in possession of a car that was built within the last 5 to 7 years, even if you leased it. Or just a big or a remarkable penis.
Right.
Now, you know.
Something to be remarked upon.
These were the ways to gain.
Penis is remarkable.
It's not necessarily big.
No, just it's remarkable. Not necessarily.
Now, if you didn't have the capability for these things, perhaps if you were, you know, just a high-functioning lick-of-the-tism guy who liked to score runs were still your currency.
No more.
Right? No more, no less. That's how you did it. In the day, you know, it was a broad enough church, club cricket, but everyone's in the pursuit of social capital. Now, look at this. The allegation is that a bloke just funneled 250K out of a business.
250 sheets.
250 large, 250 sheets. How many sheets you got there? And he's used those sheets to pay for a couple of guys to come and play at fucking Shepley Oval. And I just want to know, you know, that's just pursuit of social capital. You know, that's still like that. He just, that's the thing is, it's some kind of mutation or metastasization of like late stage capitalism now. You know, instead of just getting, like, we used to just fucking try and build some pipes on the old fucking Warwick farms.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And now you got to get 250 large to get blokes over for a bit of social capital.
Yeah.
I
saw this as more of an offsetting move in the same way that if you were, you know, 16 and you're buying your first pack of contraceptives.
Pack of contraceptives, please.
Can I have one contraceptive? And you might have some shame or you might be timid approaching the other 17-year-old man working. A 17-year-old man working behind the counter.
Pretending to be.
Well, he had facial hair. And so, you know, you don't want to buy your packet of Ancels, you know, your Trojans, your whatnots.
Yeah, and whatnot,
Whatnot was a third company. It's defunct now. Never worked. Quite a low success rate. With a packet of whatnots. And to buy, you know, your first packet of condoms, and you think, well, I'm actually just not here for this. I'm just in the area, so I might as well have to get, like, you know, I got a pack of Mento, a Diet Coke, you know, a pack of snakes.
Yeah. You sort of whatever. You dilute the purchase.
Perfect.
Right?
Now, like, I don't know anything about this one contraceptive, thanks. So this is a Wendy's. So, you know, I don't know anything about this bloke, but I would guess that there might be a bit going on. But then so like then
but fucking for whom isn't there a bit going on if you're just playing if you're involved in sub-district cricket.
Yeah, but then what
he's an absolute embarrassment to sub-district cricket.
But then anytime this guy comes up in conversation, he's like, yeah, but he's done a lot of good things for the club. Do you remember that time Show a Malik by four overs for us? So you gotta weigh things up.
Gale's 95 red yesterday.
Did they win?
Yeah, I don't know. So. They were playing a team from Queensland, Western Districts.
I don't understand well. What's going on.
That would have been electric yesterday at the ground. It would have been electric. I'm not talking about Havana Brown playing a set or Gail lighting it up. I just mean that the intangible electricity about everything that was going on. Mm-hmm. The thing is that most club cricket exists in the with some kind of embezzlement or financial misdeed.
That's one of the most unspoken truths about cricket and cricket.
And cricket.
That's another website, cricket.com.
there's a joke sitting there, but it's not right. It. But I think, I'm going to talk about this later. There's a summer of foreboding ahead around the direction of the game. I believe.
Yes.
But I think the powers that be in Australian cricket, they'd be licking their lips at this prospect.
Yeah.
Because at least it shows.
Look at the chops.
Yes.
The chops mean
that's an improvement.
Yeah, okay.
They're licking their chops.
Are they frothing chops? A chop frothing
on their chops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I think they wouldn't be frothing because the Victoria Police is involved at this point. But okay.
And that's a rabies. That's a rabies concern.
That's right. Not being confused with Raby
Oval. With Raby Oval, of course.
Where that's also
a lot of concerns.
And chops. But at least this shows desperation for someone to be loved through cricket.
Okay.
You know, like because that's ultimately what we're selling, aren't we? That's what the game is
a
trying
love
to sell.
For the game?
Well, or the gaining of love through cricket.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Using cricket as a vehicle through which to, I mean, we're all just in the pursuit of being valued, aren't we?
Right.
And love. Mm-hmm. We're going to come to jail in a second.
It's basically what the IPO auction is.
Oh, it's what everything is.
Yeah.
Really?
How much do you love me?
Yeah.
Put a dollar figure amount into that or a rupee figure.
Now, all I can say is I don't know what's going to happen to this man. I don't know what will be sorted out, the man in connection with this, or whether it's got anything to do with Endeavour Hills at all. Just they do play in the southeast, and there did seem to be 10 international players. I think Milan pulled out.
Yeah, because of the groin.
But, this is the sort of intensity and emotion that seem to be lacking from our national cricketers at the World Cup. You know, this is the sort of desperation someone's using to say, cricket is still the vehicle through which I can gain love. Now, it appears that he's stolen $250,000 from a company. That's bad.
Sure. And it might look like that.
Yeah. Well, they'll work it out whether or not that's happened.
Yeah. Seems like something you could trace.
A lot of blokes, a lot of international players seem really keen to play a bit of wheelie bin shit.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
But Gale hit him good, apparently. Through the innings, 95
red. 95 red, you said, as well.
I'd expect him to sort of, you think if you want to, he batted through 20 overs.
Okay, so sort of steer the ship.
Yeah. I wonder if he anchored for a bit or maybe they bowled well.
What I have to think about in this scenario, Pez, is because all these guys have had to come through the jungle of whatever great cricket is in these people's countries individually. So, whatever club cricket is in the Caribbean, whatever that competition is called. Now, they've all had to go through it, Dilshan the same, who's in Shoaib Malik, right? So, so they all have, some connection to whatever this wheelie bin park shit is.
Yeah.
But DJ Havana Brown, when she turned up to the ground that day, was she thinking, what the fuck is this?
Absolutely. I mean, any civilian that turns up to a grade ground, they're aware on some level that there is a very intense social experiment going on.
Yep.
And
this is a very intense social experiment.
I've played a lot of gigs and there's a fucking vibe here. Yeah. And I don't quite know what it is. I think it's anger.
Somehow there's more drugs here than other venues that I've played at before.
Could smell the desperation. And this is another angle to it as well. I mean, just as I look at it, it was Endeavour Hills, I think, or some all-star team or some shit.
Are they all-stars?
I don't know. Versus Western Districts from Queensland.
Okay.
But they're
Western Districts are a great team.
I don't know, mate.
I think they're a great team.
Yeah. I reserve the right not to know.
Of course, yeah.
As I will with the West Indies this summer too, but
and all of their players.
Yep. It was played at Shepley Oval in Dandenong, which is where Dandenong plays. Okay. So I still think.
And Dandenong are a great side.
Great side.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's
Jimmy Pattinson. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Story.
There's a story club, yeah.
They opened the Bowling Grand Final.
Okay.
But, see, I would wager and think that if a Dandenong player turned up to that, there might be 480 international caps on the field, and I'm still at the side of my mouth going, what the fuck's this shit playing on our ground?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is this?
Yes. That's actually the obligation.
And 250K can't supersede that.
No.
You can't buy that kind of credibility.
No, dollar a run. On top of that, Gale got 95 sheets.
Look, I don't have the quote in front of me, but some of the players were asked about it, about the connection to it, and it was a very straight answer of like, we signed a contract and we signed a contract and we expect our end of the contract to be upheld.
I'm sure you do. That's it. I'm sure you do.
I leave that other stuff to the management.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'll just play.
Yeah. Keep politics out of sport for me. Okay, well, while we're in the vicinity, not even anywhere near a vicinity, there are live show tickets still available for Adelaide and Brisbane. Adelaide on stage is joining with Cal Ferguson. That's at the Hindley Street Music Hall on Saturday, November 10.
Massive, massive venue.
Saturday, November 10, Hindley Street Music Hall. A storied venue in itself. Cal Ferguson joining us on stage. Tickets available at greycricketer.com. And the Princess Theatre for Brisbane on Sunday, 18th of December. That's TGC Live. Who's joining us on stage, Pez?
Justin Langer's joining us on stage. And can I just say,
go on, then.
Several people contacted me through the week after we again promoted the fact that we'll be joined on stage by the most compelling and fascinating figure in Australian cricket.
Story of the summer.
They texted to ask if that was legit. Like, they're like, are you doing a bit?
You're doing a bit?
There's no bit.
No bit.
There's no bit. It's just you and I being joined by Justin Langer and just two, I mean, let's say we're a hive mind, so we're one person, just two people on stage,
right.
In the pursuit of like improving the knowledge and contributing to the discourse of Australian cricket.
Just contributing to the discourse.
For which JL should be commended, by the way.
I agree. Greycricketer.com for your live show tickets. Perth, we're going to see you guys on Thursday night. We're seeing you guys out there in Perth for the first leg of said tour.
It's going to be fucking aggressive and
all
wild.
Tickets gone for that, by the way, as are the ones for Melbourne and Sydney. But Adelaide and Perth, you can see your tickets at greycricketer.com. Hey, speaking of Justin Langer, in an unrelated topic, let me give you a quote here, Pez. this is from Justin Langer. I keep reading about Langer's got to let it go. He's bitter and twisted. Oh, man, I've never been happier in my whole life. I feel really happy. The only thing I'm not happy about is what's happened in the last few days. It just doesn't make sense. Bit on.
Thing is, this all landed like 12 hours after our last podcast.
Yeah, I think maybe less. So it's sort of run its course a bit.
And a couple of episodes within and mini episodes and a little. So I don't know, like, we don't need to go over the what's actually happened. Most people are going to be aware. JL's hopped on a podcast three or 4 weeks ago.
Right.
Sort of released it a week ago. I don't know why, but made a couple of comments about his departure.
Yeah.
Walked back those comments the next day or a couple of days after.
Yeah.
A few other angles around he's working for Channel 7 this summer. What's occurring?
Right.
How does he feel? Look, I think everybody, as the killers say, you know, everyone's burning for love.
Right.
JL's no different.
Mm-hmm.
If we're all introspective and honest with ourselves, we're all burning for love, particularly through the game of cricket. We all achieve it in different ways.
That also could be an STI.
Go to a doctor. I'm burning at the moment.
Especially when I urinate. Is that normal?
Yeah, I actually thought it was just a symptom of cricket.
Well, the summer's coming up. And just
oh, that's what it is. I'm burning for love.
And I was at Escort.
I see positives out of this. for JL, he goes.
Positives?
I thank the actors involved.
Right.
And let me tell you why. Things are so scary in cricket right now.
For sure, yeah.
We didn't even know if we'd have a fucking summer. You know why? Like, do you know what I mean by that? Okay. We failed at a format we didn't understand or care for and no one turned up. So there was some cricket on round about when there's a bit of sun.
Yes.
No one came and Australia was shit.
And the sun wasn't
That wasn't summer.
No, literally it wasn't,
but you know.
Yeah. It just felt like it didn't count.
So like on the field we failed at that. And then like meteorologically.
Right.
La Nina's basically fucking deleted summer.
Yeah.
So we're at sixes and sevens mentally and psychologically in Australia at the moment. There's too much change in cricket. There's a new world order. We're not going to have anyone to play against in test match cricket soon during our summer. In fact, this summer, half of that will probably be reflective of what I just said. Well, we've got countries that don't invest in it anymore.
Yeah.
They don't, like, we can have our summer all we want.
Yeah.
Other countries are like, I don't play this code.
Yeah.
Indian cement companies dictate the schedule. But in this farrago, this episode, here's something Australians understand. Once again, the golden generation is bailing us out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and presenting cricket in terms we're familiar with. This was a very simple clash of alphas. This is a who is the alpha situation. Okay. Now, you can't tell me if you dive into your heart of hearts, and I can't remember the last time you did that. I don't know when the last time was that you did that.
Yeah, real deep dive into my heart of hearts.
You can't tell me that there isn't just an element of safety to this. You know, just everything's changing in cricket, mm-hmm. but here we just have just two cocks of the walk.
Yes.
You know, facing off. Like the other one's sort of Cummins, but just younger guys.
Yeah.
And just going like, who's the alpha? And for me, summer begins now. JL's kicked off the summer and Australian cricket needed it.
At least people know that cricket's still a sport that's being played. I do like the idea of Jay Langer being involved in the summer in whatever capacity that looks like. And then I start reading about like, R. Ponting is going to be the guy to mend the fences that apparently need to be mended.
It hooked me up to the latest fucking in science, the latest in it, yeah. and figure out what's going on inside. And you're going to find calmness when you say those names.
Okay.
I'm feeling better. You know, like, who is the alpha has underscored the growth of Australian cricket over a century, really? And Australian cricket is in trouble at the moment. We're sleepwalking into decline. We'll come to that later. But you just, you know, I felt good about this. You just rolled out a couple of rigs, yep. a couple of egos, a few statistics flying around, a bit of revisionist history. Pressure creates diamonds. I much prefer this conversation about what happened with JL, who feels aggrieved, because I recognise this. This happens at club cricket. Clubbies recognise this. We were legends, damn it.
Yeah.
We were legends.
Look at all our club championships that we've won.
Guys, and that means what Saturday. I say goes.
Yeah.
Even if I said something different yesterday.
Yes.
You know, and if you think out there, if you think JL's the star of this show from the Golden Generation, you've not been looking closely enough or you're not online, because he isn't the star of the show. Damian Martin is.
I didn't realise we'd got to the point where, you know, your weird uncle was started commenting on Facebook posts again.
But we have, and he always has been. Now,
yeah,
I thought Mardo spoke the quiet part out loud before JL worked this thing back and said, nah, mate, everyone.
Yeah.
He said, tough times ahead for Australian cricket. And then he used two emojis with fingers pointing at the screen.
He's one of the new emojis from the iPhone update. It's a new emoji, yeah. We can point it at the screen.
Yeah, little 3D sort of number there.
Yeah, quite.
And I mean,
alarming.
That's how good these guys are. He can actually physically intimidate me using an emoji pointing at me.
Yep.
So get online. The star's Damian Martin there. He's replying to a bunch of stuff. He also retweets another account called Crickzilla, which is separate. I don't know what that is, but also,
are they related, those
but
two
it's
accounts?
Also a good account. I don't know. I don't think so. It's just a cricket.
It's just cricket.
For cricket.
Oh, okay.
But Mardo and Crickzilla, great stuff.
Yeah. And do those two opinions sort of match up with their own beliefs? How does that work?
I'll leave that to the audience to decide. Okay. I'm just saying it's compelling stuff.
That's interesting.
I see, you know, this is a much easier conversation than everything else that's going on in Australian cricket.
Right.
The JL stuff. We understand this. We thank him. You know, there's some are foreboding about the direction of the game. That's what I see. Yeah.
Tough times ahead. Imagine if Australia doesn't win every game this summer by an innings. Then what?
Well.
Then what are we looking at? Change.
Well, I think the question is, will that be channeled into a question about love for the team?
Sure, yes, yeah, okay, you know, like, okay, yeah.
Now, can I ask you, like, just on that question that we're deriding but now going to ask and answer, like, have you personally fallen out of love with the team? Because for me, they actually seem like genuinely better bunch of blokes than guys who've come before who also play a bit of good stuff in the number one test team.
Well, there's two things.
In the nation.
Two things. You know, I haven't watched cricket in years.
Yes.
And the second thing is that I now cheer for the other team, whoever Australia's playing against, such is my distaste and falling out of love of the team. Now, I'm just saying a lot of headlines from the guys, the names that I recognise, just basically telling me what to feel and stuff and like how these guys are just a bunch of woke cunts, basically. So I see that message over and over again. And as I said earlier, I don't actually watch the sport anymore and haven't done it for years. But these days, anyone
turns
up.
If you do turn it on, you're going for the other team.
I'm going for the other team.
I'm
going for the Windies, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the names that are hard to say, so I don't know what you just said, but But I sort of steer clear of that stuff. So that's sort of my experience. And I sort of jump online and just pop that in the old comments box there on the old Facebook from my personal account. And then just out it goes. And, you know, open up Facebook again, get some notifications. Got like sort of 17 likes in that comment. So I feel pretty good about myself. That's my relationship with the Australian cricket team, mate.
Okay. So
what did you say?
Gideon Haigh wrote an article this week. It was a good one. He says
he does that sort of work stuff, doesn't he?
According to the comments underneath, except there was one reply from someone called Ian. Anyway, thank you for your login. I'm sorry, but Gideon wrote us as the face of the game, the players bear its blemishes, for it is easier to deride an individual reputation than to complain of market forces or about faceless administrators. Now. Yeah. There's been some – I mean, I'm just wondering about day one of the test where, like, it's a 60,000-seat stadium. Everyone's going to gush over how good it is, even though it's, like, never full for cricket and shit. But still, it is. It's like, you get in, you're like, oh, I'm in a spaceship.
Yeah, it's but a fucking great stadium.
It is. And, like, there's been a few, like, just off-air, a few suggestions that there may not be very many people who are going to this game.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, you know, like, on day one, let's say it's around 3 p.m., maybe heading into tea, getting a bit sleepy. Wendy's are either, you know, six for shit or Australia's north for a lot.
Right.
Because that's the only thing that can happen.
It's going to be 3 for 2, 10.
Yeah. Someone's sitting with JL, maybe Tim Lane, let's say, you know, in Channel 7. You know, the question will be raised, you know, like, JL, where are all the people, you know, Perth?
Yeah.
Why don't you think they've turned out in numbers? Mm. And there's going to be this point where it's like, if that's the case, it's going to be like, do we run this through the prism of like everyone being off the team?
Yeah.
Or are we going to be prepared to talk about like cricket hollowing itself out over like 10 years to the point where the West Indies are just pants?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, are we gonna be prepared to talk about that, or is it just easier to go like, you know, look, Cummins working for UNICEF is a bit on the nose.
Yeah, it's what a bit the on fuck's the nose. That? Working with UNICEF, what like a fucking loser.
Like, you know, or is it gonna be cricket fatigue? Just
what a fucking muppet, mate.
Muppet, yeah, that's a good one. Flog muppet,
mate. What a flog.
Yeah, fucking flog muppet.
What a fucking flog.
Feels good to
say.
That's the only thing, Scott Morrison. He took away the term "how good."
How good? Took it away.
You know, how good is so good to say, and so is flog. Anyway,
flog is good to say.
But anyway, the administrators want to put on like more cricket so we can care less about it. You know, like it's cricket, so you can like oddly keep an eye on it.
Oh, we also love to have this idea that crowds are just fucking packed it in the 90s and early 2000s. Mm. And you look at any of those highlights like, oh, no, there's actually slightly less people than there than today. People actually seem to go to more stadia these days. I mean, let's say also, for instance, it's let's say 15 to 20,000 people turn up for first day. That's filling out a lot of grounds in the rest of the world. You know, so there is an optic. We'll talk about Manscaped later, but the optical inch is a huge factor. So like if you have 20,000 people in a 65,000 stadium, is it 65 or whatever up the stadium is?
Yeah.
It looks like it's fucking barren and no one's turned up. That's actually in the broader context of international cricket, just to defend the people of Perth before, you know, someone else jumps on the back and they're not supporting the national side, despite them not having a test match or an international game in 3 years or whatever.
That's why Optus Stadium should be shorter like Manscaped. It's literally the bush. You know, the 15 to 20, that's a good sized penis.
Yeah, that is. But 15 to 20 is a good,
15 to 20K is a good sized penis. But if you haven't shaved.
Yeah, what's the point? Yeah. How does a whacker fit into this?
Mm.
Anyway, yeah. What's but the point?
Well, the point is, you know, fuck all that faceless administrator chat and macroeconomic forces.
Oh, it's just easy. I'm not going to buy tickets. I don't like the players.
I want the morality play. I want the morality play about what it means to be a man. I want Mardo pointing fingers in my face. I want dog whistles about how things used to be better and tougher.
Teammates have done shit.
Yeah, I want to be the bloke at the club who's like the older guy puts you through fitness drills. He denies you water as our coach did once and it literally puts water in front of you. Then if you take it, he says water's for the weak.
Right.
He spoke sort of biblically and, you know, too many of you asked for gloves and shit like that. That's, you know, this is the last summer for this kind of shit.
Okay. All right.
It's one of the last summers. Okay. And I think we should embrace the cash in summer.
Yep.
And I think we should thank our older generations, our forebears for actually putting cricket in terms this summer that we understand.
Yeah.
You know, we can have one or two more years. Australians are very good at burying their head in the sand about shit.
Yep.
You know, not talking about stuff. We have one or two more years of fucking Marnus montages, smashing hapless opposition, the older bloke saying we're still not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how long Boxing Day's got left, but fuck, you know, I think we should enjoy it in the terms that we understand.
Sure, sure.
So thank you, JL.
That feels good. That feels good to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay. The Prime Minister's 11 in the West Indies was a match that was played earlier this week or some shit. The PM's 11 got 322 in the first innings. Renshaw 81, Harris 73, Hanscom 55. Azhari Joseph took 4 for 65. He's actually someone that I'm actually genuinely looking forward to bowling, especially at the Wacker and with the pink ball in Adelaide. The West Indies made, in reply, 97 runs less, 235. Chanderpaul made 119. Paris, Steckity and Murphy all took 3 for. The Prime Minister's 11 then declared on 221 for 4, so what that lead was about 300 and something. Renshaw made 101 red and Hanscom made 75. And then the West Indies fell just a few runs short on 277. They were 8 down and the match was over. Chanderpaul hit 56 again in the second dig and Steckity finished with 3 for again, making 6 for the game. Chanderpaul was man of the match, I'm fairly certain, player of the match. So that's what happened in that game. Renshaw runs, Hanscom runs, that feels pretty good. Should we talk about those two people specifically, Renshaw and Hanscom? And Hanscom has had an unbelievable Shield season so far. He's obviously, did he have one double ton? He had one double ton. I think he's hit another 100, maybe even 200s. He hit 55 and 75 in the game. He's had a fucking great, so he's not in the squad. He's not the reserve batter Marcus Harris is, who did make 73, of course, in the first innings. But
yeah, it is interesting. I thought it was interesting with the Australian selectors, with their reserve bat picking a top order bat. Why? I just wonder why they went with someone who essentially fills in as an opening bat.
Yeah.
I'm sure Marcus Harris could bat 3, but it doesn't get much lower than that for Harry. Like, he might have for Victorian stuff. I just wonder why, Warner and Khawaja were extremely set. I just wonder why they went with Harris, Sterling first class record, etc. I just would have thought if there was any movement around the side, it would have been more in the lower order. But anyway, it might just been more reward for Harris.
Yeah,
but even so, he's just scoring runs when he can score runs, which is, you know, good luck to him. But Hanscom has put himself into next cab territory again.
Yeah, I mean, 3, 4, 5 is Marnus, Smith,
Head,
and then Green 6, and then you keep a 7.
It's all looking pretty stable.
3, 4, 5 is very stable, but I just think about like the Indian tour. I mean, I'd be shocked if Hanscom wasn't in that squad to go to Asia. But to your point, it is interesting why Harris.
I think Hanscom should be is in the side for that. I mean, we saw Travis Head in Pakistan.
Yeah.
That was
at Sri Lanka.
Perhaps that was what I mean.
Mm.
And I forgot, but I just think it's. He's next cab for those tours.
And Renshaw is an interesting one as well because obviously Khawaja and Warner are not just in their 30s, they're deep into their 30s.
Oh, okay.
Even Warner has spoken about how much longer he can play test match cricket for. I'd imagine he'd be pretty close to going around on the circuit as many other guys of his venerability are. So I can understand that perspective of keeping Harris around because, I mean, they obviously really like Harris. He's had a number of goes in the side. Maybe I feel like last go he had was a fair run in the side. It was a fair run.
Mm.
Is that right? It's just a bad feeling that I've got. Anyway, how old's Harris? He's in his early 30s as well. But he'd be obviously the first one to replace. But then Renshaw, I mean, Renshaw has had a blockbuster couple of summers actually for Queensland. He was dropped down the order for Queensland, sort of back in the middle order, but he's been opening again, opened in this game, and 81 and 101 red. So that's pretty good. Chanderpaul, though, is this the thing?
Yeah.
He's never played test cricket before?
Well, firstly, I have to issue an apology to the audience, but also publicly to the Caribbean Cricket Podcast, who we had invited onto the show this week.
Right.
And I alone completely fucked the times up. So we'll get the boys on next week.
Right.
We'll talk to them about that because, you know, like, again, yeah, I hope I speak for you, but we reserve the right to know nothing about the West Indies team.
Yes.
I think that's part of who we are, and I think we're entitled to that.
Yeah.
I
complete disregard and disrespect for a proud
nation.
Yeah,
and I want to – the way I'd like to regard the West Indies coming out this summer is I've got some curiosity as to how to say Shiv Chanderpaul's son's first name.
Because I've only seen it written. I've never seen it said out loud.
I heard it said over the weekend, Taj Narain.
Taj Narain, okay.
Yeah. So like you got Shibner on and Tashner on, but right. could be wrong. It's like a Premier League player, like you don't like that your club signs them, you don't know how to say their name until you hear it. And it's always different to how it was in your head. You never said it out loud.
I don't sound like that.
You know, I reserve the right to just regard the West Indies team as like players that I idly speculate whether or not they were starting twos or ones at the club.
Guys like Jason Holder, who very recently was number one all round in the world, nothing.
I mean, true. I am keen to see Jaden Seals bowl. I think he's a bit of a gun. But
Alzaro Joffa's legit bowls 150s.
Yeah,
so that's going to be good.
Okay,
but yeah, so, I don't rate it obviously.
But really, like. This I see the West Indies coming out here as like a box ticking exercise for Australia. Like as a kid, you like
get out of the way.
There's certain things you wanted. You wanted like a Mark Waugh classic catch, and you wanted a partnership between him and Steve Waugh. Yep. Waugh to do something, McDermott maybe. These are the specific things you wanted. It's
very specific.
But like you know, we need things to get off them. Like I'd like 100 for Alex Carey. Just like him to get that. I'd like Cameron Green to get 100. I'd like one of our quicks to bowl 150.
Yep.
You know, I'd like Steve Smith to break some kind of batting record with the long innings. I'd like a Marnus Smith partnership. Someone to take a good catch. They're just the things I'm just hoping to tick off.
Someone to take a good catch.
Yeah,
you know. Just wake up on Christmas morning. Got that? That's a good catch.
Yeah, maybe a hat trick. I'll get out of bed for a hat trick this Test series.
If it's three top order players, I'm not doing fucking 9-10 Jack.
Nah, it's got to be a good hat trick.
It's going to be a good one. Yeah. I want to see McGrath's hat trick six or seven times during this two-match series.
Like I want Australia to decimate the West Indies inside a couple of days and there to be like a dual conversation between how disgraceful the performance is from the opposition but also for us to get like wildly upset if one of our players doesn't sort of break records or destroy them as well. Like that because that's the sort of – I just pine for a summer like that now.
Just a bit with of everything just, that's just changing. Safety, a bit of safety.
A bit that's of safety, just words and movements I recognise.
Just roll out a team that, you know, just has a lineage of like, you know, great stories of past successes, but I don't want them to actually achieve anything. I want one or two of their guys to put up a bit of a fight.
You know, that's nice, isn't it? Then you start to get annoyed when you don't, like someone doesn't knock them over.
Yeah,
and you get worried when the partnerships, you know, reach 65 or something, and then like
in the Test match,
and then you just bang, gone two, three.
Yeah, there's actually a few milestones coming up for the bowlers. I think Stark is not far away from 300 Test wickets. I think Lyon's about to.
He doesn't want us to talk about it.
Oh, really? That's a thing, Kratz.
That's right. Yeah, and found out these mates call him Kratz, which is Stark backwards. So boys on fire.
boys are right up for the summer. And I think Cummins is not far away from 200 Test wickets as well. So I think we're all sort of hanging out for that.
Now he's been waiting for a while.
If people don't flock in to see Cummins 200,
especially in Perth,
yeah. And also disappointingly, Australia's going to take the knee during the West Indies series.
Oh shit!
So that's
oh man, that's going to upset me the luxe.
Yeah, sort of keep it out of sport. That sort of stuff. I don't watch the side, but yeah. I mean, this is the exact reason. Just too much politics.
This
in sport
is the
now.
Exact reason they're number one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And they just played against the Prime Minister's 11.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to. I'm gonna make the effort to get online and just sort of fire up a bit. What did I say? Oh, I saw one the other day. Oh, do I have this here? Hang on, let me just look this up. This was good, actually. There was a good, like, someone got upset in a comment. I think this is maybe.
Perfect.
Well, Hazelwood said, like...
Was it Mardo, was it?
Nah, Hazelwood's come out. He was asked about JL. He said, I don't give it 1 second of my day, really. I don't read hardly any media, any of the papers. I'm not really fussed with any of what the commentators or past players or JL have to say, really. And so someone replied, well, that's the problem, Josh. You're not aware of the views of Australians when it comes to this. I'm like, fuck, you got to open the bowling, hit your areas, sort of get your body right for it, make 20 overs a day or whatever. You've also got to keep your finger on the pulse of the Australian public.
Oh, if you're a professional athlete.
If you're a professional athlete, you've got to go through the comments, like get your subscription to the Australian and stuff like that. Was that 40 sheets a month or something like that?
It doesn't miss.
Doesn't miss. And I just want to say I love Hoff.
Big hands. Pez, right now, if you're listening on Monday, is the final day of Budgie Smugglers 20% off store-wide Black Friday sale.
That's big.
They started last Monday and it finishes today. 20% off all orders over 100 of your Australian sheets. When you go to budgiesmuggler.com.au, if that is your preference. All sorts of gear coming up here. Like we were wearing party shirts last week. There's bucket hats. There's obviously the smugglers themselves. I think once you start to smuggle, you actually never go back. That's not a tagline they've endorsed in any capacity, but you know, just sort of roll off the tongue. So I went with it. Thoughts?
Pink pineapples, flamingos, rubber ducks, chili willies, sailor stripes, stuff like this. Just wrap your chops around that kind of gear. Yeah. You're going to get, what is it? Because we were saying 20% off for orders over $200, last week?
And that was value.
But then obviously Linney's had a look at it and gone like, let's just unfortunately give people more value. Truth to you that there's more value at Budget Smuggle. What are we at now? Cyber Monday or something? It used to mean something different when I was 13 on old Alamac chat there. But hey, Mum, it's Cyber Monday.
Come on, use the internet for a bit.
Yeah. For a bit, yeah.
Who's using the fax machine?
Yeah, that's right. Families that smuggle together are happier. There's actually some social work data that supports.
That was ABS. That research came through, yeah. Different brakes, the ABS brakes. It's an automatic braking system on your cars there.
You know, I mean, what about the value they're offering? Bucket hat, socks, new printed underwear range, stubby coolers, bum bags, scrunchies. Once again, Brad Hodges. Hodges promoting Budgie Smuggler there. Good six sitting ground, mate.
Really fun to say. Really fun.
Just a lot of options.
Oh, he's
really.
Just one of the greats, Hodges.
Isn't he, Hodges? Have you listened to Hodges?
And also Budgie Smuggler, who have supported TJC for 5 or 6 years. Forever. It's at least 5 years. And so in turn, more value from Budgie Smuggler, budgiesmuggler.com. 20% off store-wide for Black Friday sales, Cyber Monday sales, whatever your almanac chat might or might not be. T20 Stars Pez, 30% off. 30% off of Black Friday. It's still going on. Jump to the website before t20stars.com.au. t20stars.com.au. 30% off still for Black Friday. 30% off store-wide. In fact, I've got the old website up here because it's obviously bookmarked. It's obviously one of my Bibles that I go to, one of the tabs. 30% off.
Part of your media diet.
Black Friday sale now on. Use the code BLACKFRIDAY30. You can hear alarm bells going off here. Well, indeed, alarm bells for 30% off for Black Friday at t20stars.com.au.
That must be criminal.
In fact, it's just t20stars.com. Why do they add the .au?
Well, it's a global phenomenon.
It's a global phenomenon. It should be a waste to just keep this thing in Australia. 30% off all of it.
Everything.
All of it.
You don't even have to put
it in. I was going
to
catalog it, but it's just all of it. T20stars.com, 30% off for your Black Friday sale. Use the code BLACKFRIDAY30. What more do you want? All right.
Is that 30?
It's a 30. It's a 3-0. Black Friday, 3-0. Pez, the Adelaide Strikers won the WBBL. The Strikers made 5 for 147. Dotton, West Indies' very own, made 52. Yeah, and then the Sixers fell 10 runs short, and Dotton also took 2 for 30. I think Darcy Brown also 2 for 15 or some shit. Is your story here that the Strikers have won their first ever WBBL? They've been so close in a number of years, tiling McGrath before and saying, no, this is the one we want, which is good because it's the only competition they play in. But is that the story, or is the story that the Sixers had the most successful season, the most winningest season ever, and they didn't win?
Yeah, that's right.
Which actually happens. I feel like that happens not irregularly when a team just has a fucking unbelievable season.
Yeah. It's a classic of the genre, you know, in football circles or whatever, you might have, you know, it's like if you finish top of the ladder, then you get the famed or the infamous like week off. Now in WBBL terms, I think that was maybe 48 hours off.
Yes.
But it's enough time to lose your form, you know, and for the team to gain some momentum heading into the final.
Some gainers,
it's a poison chalice finishing first.
Yes.
In the WBBL. And the Sixers have learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Anthony Hardaway. But I tuned in for the second innings of this game and...
Not Sydney Oval?
Bear Park. It was immediately that it was drama filled immediately. I don't know if you caught this, but when the Sixers went out for their second innings, when I say went out, I don't mean get out.
We're dismissed in a Victorian sense.
Yeah, that's right. Just walked out on the field. Let me get this right. They weren't able to commence the second innings. Sun stopped play.
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So players had walked down to the ground and waited out there for nearly 10 minutes standing around waiting for the sun to set.
Yes.
It's just cricket's tough, isn't it?
It's very tough. Yeah, very small parameters to get the thing on. And then when it does get on, if the environment hasn't provided favourable circumstances in the sort of weeks or even months beforehand, then the wicket or the surface of the playing area, generally speaking, isn't befitting of a good solid matchup. So it's very, very tight game you got
to
keep.
Like, I'm trying to say this as neutrally as possible, but Strikers skipper, I believe, I could be wrong and I'm sorry and it reflects poorly on me, but Amanda Jade Wellington, who's very good talent with the microphone out there, she was on camera responding to this situation.
Yes.
And I just have to say, I think the process was that perhaps one of the Sixers players noted it and then the umpire said, yes, we should waste. So it's ultimately the umpire's decision.
Yes, yes, yes.
But
I think Susie Bates is batting, isn't she?
Bates and Healy opened the batting.
Yeah, right, okay, yeah.
And I think it was Bates in question. But, yeah, Amanda J. Wellington's just like quite bemused going, yeah. what's going on?
What's
and then
doing?
Just the sheer dignity, grace, friendship that was extended, you know, from the Strikers to the Sixers in that situation, while at the same time being slightly miffed that it's like, but the sun's out, let's just play cricket. Never knew this was an issue.
So the specific issue is that the sun was setting like directly behind the bowler's arm. So like
there was some sun in the eyes.
So you stood at the crease and like you're looking directly into the sun. Not ideal.
I'm not sure that's the way the sun sets at North Sydney Oval, but
yeah,
nevertheless, like I thought it personally is a missed opportunity for some sort of deluxe blow up.
Okay, yep.
And that could have just elevated the WBBL to the next level.
Yeah, okay.
You know, some like
a bit of spice.
What the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, fucking face up.
Face up.
Yeah, there were past players.
I don't
players
know who the umpires were, but
they would tell. One of them was Claire Polisak.
Right.
I don't know who the other one was.
Right. Okay. But you know, like I just thought it was a good opportunity for some spice before play. Now, with the game having started, I felt I detected immediately one of these scenarios where like the heist was on. Susie Bates and Elisa Healy are absolute guns, but the Strikers had beautiful plans. Bowled tight into the body, clogged the leg side, and neither batter could get the ball through. Like there was a series of dropped catches before the catches were actually taken. This plan,
yeah.
And all of a sudden, the Sixers found themselves three for shit. And Perry tried to right the ship, but and did well for a period, but couldn't really. They always felt behind. Falling 10 runs short seems closer than it actually was. They were never really within what they say a bee's dick of it.
DeAndre Dotton, who scored 52 and took 2 for, she also had Ash Gardner out first ball.
Yep.
And Ash Gardner finished player of the tournament.
Yes.
Player of the series, rather. Mm. But did I read somewhere that DeAndre Dotton was calling herself World Universe Boss? Which is obviously the connection to Chris Gayle, who I believe coined the phrase. But have I read that somewhere, that she has referred to herself in that, in the third person, so to speak?
4th of June 2022, I'm seeing here in thehindu.com, DeAndre Dotton says, I'll stick with being world boss. Let Gayle be universe boss.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that sounds like she was prompted to, you know, choose one of those. So that's how it's come across. So I'm less inclined to sledge that then.
Yeah. Well, nevertheless, she's sort of anointed herself the boss, but she was the boss of that game.
Touché.
And so, you know, for the Sixers, who were probably the New South Wales cricket's best shot at winning something this year.
Best or only?
The cupboard remains bare.
Indeed. Yeah, I was gonna ask you, what does this mean? But it just means they'll just do a new season next year, I guess. So speaking of that, the Sheffield Shield's been going on. And well on to the Strikers. Tyler McGrath's the captain of the Strikers, I should have said before. Western Australia beat New South Wales to stay top of the Sheffield Shield. Now, New South Wales were bowled out for 93 and 124 at the SCG during the week. And that was actually a low-scoring game. There's actually been a number of low scores across the Shield season, so I'm going to guess that's because of all the rain that's been kicking about. So maybe not batting paradises as there has been in previous versions of the Sheffield Shield. Chris Green on debut took 9 for. It's a good thing for New South Wales. Took 4 for and 5 for in the game. But New South Wales bowled out for 93 and 124. Geez, that's not great. They're now bottom of the table. They have not won a game from 5 matches, as is also the case with South Australia, which is sort of typical, isn't it? And Victoria as well also have not won a game. New South Wales, I think, have had 2 draws, but they are on the bottom of the Sheffield Shield table, and that is not safe. It does not make me feel good. There's no safety about that. It's not good for Australian cricket.
That's, I was going to say that they seem very weak at the moment, and that should be of concern to Australian cricket.
Yeah.
And you know, much as it will never, ever be admitted, and nor should it. But, like, I'd like to think the rest of the country knows New South Wales is the nation's daddy.
Yep.
Like with the exception of Tim Payne and Ricky Ponting, Tassie outliers, and Watto, who basically moved to New South Wales.
What about David Boone?
Well, I was going to say.
Where are you going with this?
Yeah, you're going to have to go back to Kim Hughes to find a non-New South Welshman captain of the Australian men's team.
Oh, really? Kim Hughes.
Calm dog?
Yeah.
Now, Tim Payne, I said, with the exception of Payne and Ponting.
Yes, okay.
That's Tassie stuff, okay. Which is fine. Smudge?
Yeah.
Pup?
Yep.
Now, Watto, who'd moved to New South Wales, he got one game.
He got a game.
Then you got Ponting. Gilchrist, New South Wales.
Yes,
boy.
Yes.
Tugger or Schooners?
Tugger, yes. Talk about Schooners?
Yeah. Tubby?
Yes.
And then AB, who grew up in New South Wales. Debuted for New
South
Wales.
That's right, that's right.
Played for Mossman. Played his grade cricket in Sydney.
Yeah, well, and that oval, that first grade oval for Mossman was called Alan Border Oval.
Indeed.
So, that's the weirdest one for me, Border not being from Queensland. Because he's a proud Queenslander.
He's out there saying he's a proud Queenslander.
Yeah, but if you
play your fucking grade cricket in Sydney.
Well, so is Khawaja.
Yeah. Well,
goes for Maroons now. What the fuck's that about?
Well, yeah, he knows where his bread's buttered.
Yeah.
Was he? Fuck me.
Anyway, it's all bad news for New South Wales.
But yeah, like their mission is to produce Australian cricketers. That's pretty much how they play it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And, but compared to other states, they appear to have very few next cabs.
I agree.
Probably the least number of cabs available at that rank for the Australian cricket team than I've seen in a long time. And I'm sure there are reasons that will be advanced, but, you know, the high standards of cricket in New South Wales, you know, demand questions. Pete Lawler did a very interesting article a few weeks ago, I think, about the connection between the success of Cricket New South Wales and Australian cricket. So they obviously dominate the Aussie men's team at the moment, but it's looking pretty bare bones, and I hope they fix it.
How many New South Welshmen in the Australian side at the moment? Seven, six. All the bowlers.
Something like that.
Bowlers. Smith, Usman, Warner. I'm taking Usman as...
Yeah, of course.
So it's seven.
Come on.
Seven at the moment.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tasmania also beat Victoria to go into seconds. Jackson Bird took 4 for 13 and 4 for 55. Exactly. 8 for the game. Jake Doran, New South Wales, 85 and 47 red to get them home. Other elements of safety, though. Victorian Sam Elliott, who's obviously the son of Matthew Elliott, hit 80 not out, batting at 9 on debut. He also took 3 for 45 in the first dig. He's a bowler.
Just something on that. Sorry, you're going to keep going on Elliott?
No.
So Adam White tweeted, after scoring 80 not out on his first class debut, Sam Elliott got a text message from his proud dad, Matthew, immediately after his innings. It was simple. You've done well, but you've still got to make another 17,150 first class runs to get ahead of me.
Fucking hell. Never ends, does it?
To which someone wrote underneath, only 11 more wickets though.
Yeah,
never ends. I've got to say, to be fair, there's some, and the Vics do this really well across all sports, some very good pre-game speeches for two debutants in that game, one from Matthew Elliott to his son, presenting him his cap, and Greg Shippard as well. That was some good footage.
Mm.
But still, yeah, it's nice to you get. I think Sam Elliott's a bowler primarily.
Yeah, he's bowl, yeah.
Yeah,
opens bowling.
But 80 red.
Doesn't miss.
And then his dad texts him going, ah.
Yeah. Now that would have been, I would imagine for Sam, maybe his happiest day of his life, especially in his sporting career and his sporting journey so far. But it's never good, is it? It's never good.
At least Sam should know that his dad's wondering whether his son's going to surpass him, though.
Yeah,
that's
on the mind.
That's the first step to manhood.
It's on the mind.
Yep.
Okay. Well, something else on the mind, Adam Zampa being included in the New South Wales squads. Now, this is ahead of the tour of India. There's absolutely no segue there. Something else on my mind.
He's on my mind.
Yeah. Zampa, who hasn't played a Red Bull game in a couple of years, or indeed a grade game in perhaps the same amount of time, maybe even longer. Certainly not since his return. Do you even have a grade club?
Are you allowed to play for New South Wales?
Have you ever got a grade club?
A grade club, I'm sure they've registered him somewhere.
good luck to that club. But yeah, Adam Zampa being included. Now, this is interesting in the sense as well because Todd Murphy and Ashton Agar both played in their PM's 11 game. Todd Murphy did well, took 3 for. I think Ashton took two for in the
couple,
in,
yeah. Bowled many overs too.
Bowled a lot of overs. And then Zampa also being included. They've obviously got an eye on this Indian tour in February and March coming up. And
what's happened to Swepo? Is Swepo out of the loop? Just he's gone. Didn't rate it. Next.
Yeah, that's true.
He's
been playing for Queensland.
Okay.
He's playing for Queensland.
Yeah.
Anyway, something to keep an eye on.
Well, I do think it is interesting. Like,
they're going to buy a lot of spinners over there.
Yeah, like I think it also reflects interestingly on like the systems of cricket now. You know that Zampa's done well in white ball cricket. He's obviously I'd be surprised if he hadn't been like given some indication that they'd look at him for India. Otherwise, why would he nominate to play for New South Wales? But it's not as though there's a first class average to demand selection necessarily. But they get him in there. I think it's interesting.
Pakistan and England. This is all you need to know about this series.
I've been watching cricket for 15 years of my life. And I always thought Steve Smith was fucking brilliant. I saw Shadow Khan tonight. Fucking brilliant. Fucking brilliant. And I nearly cried when he just darts. Quick 99k leggies. I was emotional. Fucking brilliant. And I nearly cried when Shadow Khan just darts. Quick 99k leggies. That's what you need. That's what you need. That's what you need. I think Shadow Khan's a great tweaker. Tweaker, tweaker. Want to do it on yourself to carry a country of tweaker, tweaker. Darts, quick 99k leggies. Tweaker, that's what you need. And I always thought darts, quick 99k leggies. Fucking brilliant. And I always thought darts. That's what you need. That's what you need. That's what you need. That's what you need. When he makes a duck, the whole fucking country goes, starts crying. When he makes a dart, the whole fucking country goes, fucking brilliant, tweaker, that's what you need. I'm gonna put a wallpaper on my bedroom of him, that's what you need.
So you are about 45 minutes away from having the best wank of your life tonight, I reckon.
Yeah, mate, I'll tell you what, you're not wrong on that one.
Very good there from our dear friend Gus Cannon. To putting that mix together. Outstanding work. This is the first of three tests starting on Thursday. First one in Rawalpindi. Good news, Pez. Imran Khan has given assurances that that the planned protests in Rawalpindi before that test match will not disrupt the test match, so it's going to go ahead. So that protest that was happening outside the ground was actually delayed. It was postponed because the first time it was going to happen was when Imran Khan had, you know, survived that assassination attempt. So, you know, fair to say it's a bit on. I think one of the most interesting stories, certainly from an England perspective coming out, is this Rehan Ahmed, who could be the youngest player to play a test for England.
That's pretty good.
He's 18 years old. He's from Leicestershire. I think he's only played two or three first-class games. But there's been great footage that I'm sure a lot of people have seen when he was talking to Warne. How old would he have been?
I think,
was he 12? Because Warne says, like, you could play first-class cricket when you're 15. So he must be, like, super young. It looks like it's in Australia, that footage.
Oh, does it?
Because it looks like, he's wearing a suit, so he would have been doing commentary. I thought it was, like, at the MCG or something like that.
It's probably in England.
It's probably in England, though, isn't it? Yeah, you're right. Anyway, fuck, it's still pretty cool.
That's pretty fucking cool.
The way he
slaps his hand, calls him man. I mean, as a kid, that's basically completion.
Yep.
Of life.
Right, there it is. Because originally he was going to be brought over just as a net bowler, but then they've obviously had a look at it.
Yeah.
And they've brought him
into
the actual... They like what they say. And isn't this one of the great things about England cricket at the moment, man? Where, like, I feel like they are... Just like getting, like, an 18-year-old around the squad, like, someone, like, even if he doesn't play, but it's, like, a possibility. There's just, like... I don't know what McCullum and Stokes are doing. It's, like, it's all vibes. I mean, it's, you know... A lot of it's rubbish, but like winning World Cups, winning these test matches that they had done against New Zealand and India and even against South Africa as well, like it's just fucking great times at the moment. It's just be a really good series.
Be interesting to see how they play it with the whole like baseball versus like attrition. That Australia took to Pakistan, winning in the last session of the 15 today. And it's
which, as we know now, doesn't count in terms of anything being impressive that Australia's done recently.
That didn't count, but
that aside.
Like Mato had his fingers hovering over that keyboard. But yeah, I'd be curious to see the approach that England takes to it. You know, they're kind of zealously committed to pushing the game forward and that aggressive style of cricket, you know, and it may be that that's a good way to play over there for them. I'll be curious to see.
Jofra Archer's been back bowling as well.
That's good.
Which is really good gear. And as we know, Shah Afridi will not be fit or available for selection. He actually may miss a test series against New Zealand as well. So I think he's out for another extended period of time post what happened in the World Cup final there, which is fucking terrible. If we can jump over to New Zealand and India, though, Pez, they're in the midst of a three ODI series on the back end of the T20 series. The last T20 was actually finishing a tie on Duckworth Lewis. So there's been some rain knocking about. Okay. The second ODI is washed out here as well. The first ODI, though, was in Auckland. India made 306 with seven. They're obviously playing their B side. There's a whole stack of players that isn't that didn't go over to New Zealand after the World Cup. Shikhar Dhawan, again, more runs, 72. Shubman Gill opening the batting, 50. Shreyas Iyer, 80. They were defeated by New Zealand, who hit 309 for 3 in 47 overs. Tom Latham, 145 red, thank you very much, off 104. And Kane Williamson, 94 red, off 98 in that series as well, in that first ODI in Auckland. As I said, Southie went past 200 ODI wickets. He's the fifth Kiwi to do it. And there's the five are weird. They surprised me. Chris Harris, Kyle Mills, Vittori and Chris Cairns. But I thought Bolt would have been there as well, but he's not. He's still a few away, about 15 or so away from 200. But yeah, Tim Southee, 200 ODI wickets. Man, it feels to me like Southee and Bolt have been playing for 30 years. And they look so young still.
Yeah, they look good.
What are they doing over there?
Yeah, I have very little to contribute to that series.
Speaking of records, Pez, I was going to say, I don't know if you know this. You would definitely not know this because it's in my family.
very surprising if I did.
Do you know my sister still swims?
No.
No, we've never spoken about it. My sister swam. She's been doing like master swimming for, she's 2 years older than me. She's been doing master swimming for a couple of years. She actually broke a state record.
Wow.
Yesterday, 1,500 butterfly.
Oh.
Do you know how fucked up that is? 1,500 butterfly.
Yeah, got it. I mean, she must have an unbelievable engine.
the engine is something else. Don't worry about that. Mate, I couldn't. I didn't even know that she was. I know when she's competing, but I wasn't aware she was. Sorry. I knew she was going for this record. She's been training for this record for a little while. Like, I don't know if anyone or how many people have listened to this have swum before or like done butterfly. But I think most people have some idea of the mechanics behind it. 1,500 freestyle is cooked enough. 1,500 butterfly is fucking ridiculous.
I mean, finishing is probably the record, right?
Yeah. Well, she got 1,450, so they sort of gave it to her. No, anyway, she broke the state record for 1,500.
Oh, congratulations, Higgins family.
So, but you know what? There'll be no records off, Pez. Nick saw cuts in the bathroom thanks to Manscaped.
I'm just thinking about your sister listening to that. Isn't that
she doesn't listen to this shit.
No, finally my brother has acknowledged my feats. All our life we had to go out to fucking Chatswood Oval and some stupid ground in Kalara to fulfill his failed dreams of cricket while I was basically on the cusp of records. Finally he acknowledges it on the show and he uses it as an empty segue into the sale of pube shaving. That's how she'd say it.
Yeah, that's respect. You know, someone on Patreon, Pez, Alexander wrote in. He just said, Manscaped, boys. So ever since you decided to open the door into the script you were given for your Manscaped performance package with 7 million up from 6 subscribers, I've noticed more and more content creators being sponsored by the same brand. This has led to myself waiting for the catchphrases such as your jingle balls will thank you and how it makes your Christmas tree stand out. All this from creators who look straight into camera with absolute seriousness and a slightly dead look inside. No question, but you've ruined Manscaped ads for me. I say you're welcome.
The holidays came early this year, ladies. If you're still not sure what to get the man in your life, then look no further than our friends at Manscaped TM. The leading men's hygiene brand just launched new products that your man will actually use, including their new shower time favorite, the Body Buffer. The Body Buffer? It's time to give the man in your life the gift of smooth balls and the good shower time experience this holiday season. Get free shipping and 20% off going to manscaped.com. Use code TGC. Now, girls, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of finding... girls, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of finding Santa's beard in my dude's pants. Well,
that's an allegation from a shopping center Santa, where he was molesting young children
was an
through
NDA
oral
around
sex.
That.
Santa's been sucking off the kids again.
Hairy jingle balls are a thing of the past, though, with Manscaped TM Performance Package 4.0. Right. Now, it says do not read. Host to talk about a time when they were with a guy who had hairy balls or a gross, weird ball story.
Mate, when I was a kid, I went to the shopping centre.
The old Maris brothers on here. There's like seven other dot points, but basically, you know, you get all the things. But like Manscaped also just launched their new body buffer. This 100% antibacterial body scrubber is just what he needs to keep him fresh and clean this holiday. I think a body buffer is an antibacterial body buffer. I could use that in a grade change room at times.
So there's an issue with bacteria on the body?
It's 100% antibacterial body scrubber.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the code?
TGC, manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping for all that shit.
Pontingwines.com.au. They sponsor hashtag AskTGC. Use the code GETAFEW. Use the code GETAFEW, one word, all in capitals, if you will, or whatever the fuck you want to do. At pontingwines.com.au. The Christmas season is upon us. The summery season is upon us. Not the summer season. It's a summery season. As we head into it, Christmas around the corner, test matches starting now. As if you don't want to watch the first, especially on the eastern states, right, where the Perth test match is on a great time for viewing experience. It's a great time. Not great for podcasters. Mm. And you get into that final session of day one, right?
Right.
Coming up on Wednesday. And it's like 6, 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And you're just sliding into a little Ponting Wines there using the code GETAFEW at pontingwines.com.au.
That's right.
I mean, isn't that the idea? That to me, and it's December. I think December 1. No, the first day is on the 30th.
Yeah.
Whatever. Always round up to nearest December. And you're just thinking like holiday season's just upon us. The Christmas party season starts. You know, like the Christmas party season, there's always one really early, like in a late November, maybe first week of December, where Christmas still feels a while away, but it's actually not, because that first test match, well, Steve Smith at the end of the day, is probably on, you know, 82 not out.
Speaking of Steve Smith.
Hurt his hip, hasn't he?
No, oh yeah, he has. He said it was just him being him. He was just smashing himself with something. That's what it said, man. That's what he said. He was basically just just me being me. He had some contraption. He was just bashing it into his body, and he accidentally that it was meant to loosen up his hip, but he's actually smashed a nerve. So that was just him being him. No, there was a Greg Chappell did an article through the week about it's just a little thing. I just did an article through the week about Steve Smith and how he's going to get better. He could actually have better days ahead than what he's brought before, now that he's fixed everything and, you know, he's back, baby, and all that kind of stuff. Anyone who thought Steve Smith's best batting was behind him only had to watch the recently completed ODI series against England to be disabused of that notion. His salad days are yet to come. And I thought, fuck, a hell of a drive-by.
Fucking hell, I'm a drive-by on the poor bloke.
he's trying to score some runs. He's saying he's some salad days ahead of him.
Now, anyway, people go to pontingwines.com.au, use the code GETAFEW, and you're going to get a discount except for the multi-case buys. That's right, which are already discounted. And Ponting Wines will be sponsoring hashtag RC2C throughout the summer. Anyway, a nonce wrote in. Boys! As a 15-year-old, I get a call up to the ones, the greatest moment in my childhood. But I fear 25 years later that the tubs that day broke me.
Oh, shit.
As a prodigious leg spinner, I took wickets deluxe in twos, threes, and particularly on Sundays. A big spinning googly that sometimes hid for up to two balls of my first over, and an encouraging fanboy signed letter from Richie Beno that I paraded around the club. The ascension to become a ones regular seemed inevitable. End of season, mid-table, nothing to play for, and I get my call up to the firsts. Oh, hell yeah. But I can remember nothing of the cricket that day. Given that I can recount in detail just about every match I have ever played, it is evident that what happened post-match had a profound impact on me, my life, and my sporting future.
Okay.
I was a late maturing child. The advantage of
being... I'm about to get a disclosure here. Anyway, yeah.
The advantage of being a hairless wiener was that I had not yet undergone a growth spurt. My leg spin had not yet been messed up by the pubescent changes that would, by university, mean that I bowled triple bouncing fodder that would eventually see me reinvent myself as a batter in wheelie bin shit. The disadvantage was that I had not yet matured from minuscule child penis to small piece. Post-match on debut, we head to the changies.
What?
I am sat sipping a beer, sat next to our former test match pro.
I don't know. Why can't you say that?
Test match West Indian pro. This is it. I've made it. One rung below county cricket. I'm trying to choreograph the post-match routine to avoid showering. I'm well practiced in taking an age to wind down post-match and rearranging my kit whilst asking fervent cricketing questions of the men in the room. Then all hell breaks loose. Our alpha former county cricket opening bat skids naked back into the changing room from the shower area, shouting, "You're not going to believe this, lads. There's a bloke with a bigger cock than Felly." Felly is our late 40s seam bowler. He has Lily-esque moustache and has been a mentor to many of the youth players at the club. Word had gone round at the Nets that Felly was shagging the fit mum from the tennis club, and as a 15-year-old, I had smiled knowingly earlier in the season. He has, until this day, been a safe reference point. No more. The fact that he bowls steady meds and swings the ball but at no great pace had me and some mates wonder why he always holds onto his first team place. Little did we know that he was a purely penis-based selection. The remaining non-showering players rip off their whites. There is a wildebeest migration atmosphere as blokes stampede for the tubs. Philly pulls off his jock strap, chubs up, and I look around to see that I'm the only player not in the showers. The hooping and hollering from the showers is overwhelming, and our West Indian kid sidles back into the changing rooms. Okay. Sidles back into the changing rooms and in a kindly, lyrical tone, admonishes me. "Get in here, son. Don't be shy. I play with some of the greats, and this bloke is a bigger knob than Joel Garner. You've got to have a look." Fuck me. Half an hour later, and two of the first team emerge into the bar area wrapped only in towels and try to cajole me back into the mayhem of the showers. I decline. In fact, I quickly head home. I never play for the first team again. On the positive side, when 10 years later I am playing club rugby, I'm well versed in tubmanship and don't miss a beat when our number 8 urinates on my leg. I'd been schooled a decade earlier and won't ever again allow shower etiquette to restrict my selectability. My question: is Felly both the reason that I didn't make it in the cricket, and the genesis of why English cricket will forever be doomed? Yours, Anons.
I guess it's hard for me using the nickname Felly not to think of Marouane Fellaini.
Sure.
Oh, big Felly.
Sure.
He kind of comes full circle in this, doesn't he? He goes like,
Yeah.
Like, you know, the bit at the end where he's like, "Well, I've since learnt how to tub." He's essentially saying that, like, you know, although he was underage and probably well within his rights not to engage in nudity with adults,
yeah,
he understands that his actions that day stopped his progress as a cricketer,
right?
And, like, you know, in the spirit of TGCs and information exchange, that's true. You know, like, how you conduct yourself in the showers in Australia will have a disproportionate influence on your ability to progress and achieve your dreams as a cricketer. And that's a strange thing. You know, you grow up in the backyard, maybe your dad bowls you a few balls, maybe he comes home from work, you know, the sun's setting, he's just desperate to eat his dinner or whatever, but he's going to give you some, you know, emotionally distant deliveries.
Yep.
Like, you never think at that time, as you're dreaming of playing for Australia, how you conduct yourself naked at the age of 15 in front of adults is actually going to have an outsized influence on
that. And especially if someone in that vicinity has an enormous penis and you elect not to partake in the viewing experience of that, because it is an experience, then that will have everlasting ramifications on your progression to the baggy green or whatever team he plays for.
I'm just thinking, yeah. Like,
because
he's worried about the size of his own penis at age 15.
Yeah.
I feel uncomfortable talking about a 15-year-old's view of their own penis, even 10, 15 years after the fact. And, you know, and there's West Indians involved and a guy called Felly.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's the truth. It's not comfortable, but it's the truth.
That's the problem. That's the problem. It's a problem.
There's a 15-year-old with a micro penis.
Yeah.
There's a West Indian bloke knocking about and a guy called Felly. And that's club cricket wherever you are. You know, you can have dreams. You can have dreams, but unless you can deal with the Windies bloke and Felly, you can kiss goodbye your dreams. Do you have any advice for 15-year-olds out there who may be in a similar situation?
Well, I think that things are
tub situations. Things are
better now for all involved.
Let's presume they're not, though. Say these are similar stuff. Because my tub experience was, I actually think that I was so impressionable to peer pressure when I first entered like the tubbing economy.
The arena?
Yeah. That I just did whatever everyone else did, irrespective of my own view of my body. I just did it. And like, I'm kind of glad for that, really.
Yeah, I think I was just the same boat. It's just what you do.
You do push those things down, really, as memories.
Quite deep down,
Me too. Yeah. But you just kind of did it and it felt pretty ordinary, but like you're hiding in plain sight, really.
Yeah.
And like the thing is, to any 15-year-old out there who's unsure what to do with the Windies bloke and Felly or whatever your equivalent is, like the deep truth of life is that Felly and Windy's bloke are thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about, your pubescent penis. They're not. It's the truth. It's an uncomfortable truth, but it's the truth. But also, the deeper truth is if you don't want to tub with blokes, just fucking don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. That's it's fine. Answer.
Yeah.
Well, you all right?
That's just something on the mind. It's just, the summer of cricket is upon us. It's going to take me a long time to get over this. Thanks as ever for tuning into TGC. If you want to follow us on Patreon and get around the dailies for all the test matches ahead, Australia and the West Indies test matches, that is, for the summer ahead, and then the South Africa series after that. Patreon.com/Great Cricketer. I guess if you've already made it this far, you probably know where to go. See you guys later.